Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
David faced the challenge of Goliath and realized this is not a physical battle. He's challenging our God. And he doesn't have a chance. He doesn't know what he's up against. And so David stepped out trusting in God, and God backed him up, and he was just a young man. I'll tell you, whatever battle you and I are facing right now, we need to lift up our eyes and remember who's with us in the battle, because it's not our battle, it's his, really. Because he says, the battle is the Lord's. I think every thought I've had this morning is something we've heard, but I feel like right always we need to be reminded of these things, because we are in real battles and they affect us if we're not careful. And God wants to help us. Of course, you remember the glimpse that was mentioned last week by Chaz, the spirit that actually was the head spirit over the kingdom of Persia, the prince, he called him, of Persia. And he was allowed to withstand the messenger sent to Daniel for 21 days. Now, that was not allowed, I mean, that was not in there to say, oh my God, they are stronger than we are. But it certainly was a wonderful testament to the power of a persevering prayer. Because Daniel never gave up, did he? He kept seeking and kept seeking. And the Lord said that when you first called upon me, I answered. And I was sent. And anyway, but we see a glimpse of the fact that there's not just the one terrible battle or terrible nation that we have to face. There's another one that's a whole lot more, a whole lot bigger. So praise God. Well, there are so many truths to that. I'm not going to spend a lot more time in the Old Testament, but God was unfolding something, as we say. He was hiding his purposes. And yet through the mouths of his prophets, you knew something was coming. God had a plan. And the devil didn't understand it. He thought he had won when he put Jesus to death. But that was the absolute thing that signified, that secured the victory for all time. Praise God. I mean, you think about what God declares here, the wisdom, the mystery that's been hidden. It has been destined for our glory. It wasn't even about lifting Jesus up. It was about lifting you and me up this morning. Right where we're at. That's his purpose, and we're in the middle of this process. But anyway, so we know that Jesus came, he laid down his life. We know that that's the centerpiece, that is the unfolding of a mystery, and Paul was able to understand what this was all about. How did he do that? Because he was smart? No, because God showed him. Boy, we need to just lift up our eyes and say, Lord, show me what I need to know, when I need to know it. And other than that, it's in your hands. I'm not going to worry about it. That's a good place to be, isn't it? It's a childlike faith in a faithful Heavenly Father. But God began to reveal what this was all about. And so Paul made Jesus and the crucifixion the centerpiece. And his resurrection, his ascension to a throne. And so there he is, and he reigns. But there's another interesting mystery that does affect every one of us right here in a wonderful way. How many of you remember the early career, if you want, of Saul the Jew? He was raised up as a Pharisee, one of the central sects of the Jewish religion, trained in Jerusalem. Obviously a gifted young man, and boy was he full of zeal for God. I'm going to get it done. These Jesus people, we got to get rid of them. They're a terrible blight on our religion. And so he actually thought he was doing God's service by going out and having them arrested and killed. Wow. Talk about delusion. You talk about darkness. I'll tell you, what a revelation it is for God to reach out to somebody like that. You think you've gone too far? You think God can't reach to the bottom of hell if he needs to pull somebody out? But remember what he said, what happened to Paul, to Saul when he was on the way to Damascus, sent there with authority to arrest people and throw them in jail. And suddenly, He falls off his beast, horse, whatever it was, and he hears a voice, and there's a brilliant light shining around him. You remember what the voice said? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting my people? Wait a minute. He didn't say that, did he? Why are you persecuting me? There's a truth embedded in that that's absolutely astounding. Because Jesus was up there on the throne. How in the world could Paul be persecuting him? And yet, here's Paul persecuting what we would consider the individual people that followed Jesus. And Jesus says, you persecuting me. There's an awesome truth in that. I don't care who you are, Jesus identifies himself with you in a very deep, personal way. You remember what he said, was it Matthew 25? I think he was talking about the judgment. Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. There is a connection that is absolutely astounding. When you look into what the Lord's purpose is, the unfolding of that purpose, and I hope it makes a difference in us. It should be the foundation of what the church means. Who are we? What is God's purpose that he's unfolding in our lives, and how do we face things in this life? You know, Paul said, oh, wow. Lord, shut down with the thing, all these thoughts that are not of you right now, but think of what Paul unlocked in Ephesians. I'm not going to go through it all, but he talked about God's plan, God's purpose, the fact that his plan, he's working out in all of our lives. He's foreseen things from the foundation of the world. He knew your name. He knew how many hairs you'd have on your head this morning. That's an awesome God. And all of that. But then he absolutely did something that destroyed all of Satan's power. You know, we think of battles, and we think of wars as being determined by the outcome of battles, as though, well, the side that wins the most battles, ultimately that's going to bring about the end of the war. There's something really different about the war that we're in, because the war has already been won. That's an unusual thing when you think about it. We're fighting battles, and yet the war has already been won at the cross. The outcome is determined. Boy, that ought to give us confidence to fight, because we're already on the winning side. There's a reason for the battles. But anyway, this is where Paul was talking about wanting his people to understand the incredible power that God revealed when he lifted his son out of the grave and set him on a throne. All right? Far above, in the end of chapter 1, verse 21, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in that which is to come. I don't care how massive and how widespread the kingdom of darkness is, this kingdom is greater. The one who sits on the throne has all the authority in heaven and on earth. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything. Thank God there's not a period there. Set him over everything, head over everything for the church. That was the mystery that God was unfolding. He had a people that out of this broken, messed up, blind, sin-darkened world, God has a people that he is bringing out. And this is the only way it's going to happen, is through what Jesus did. Praise God. But then he says something about the church, which is kind of amazing. He says, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. It's hard to think of ourselves as being the rest of him. We think of Jesus and we think of, okay, he's a being. We sort of knew what he looked like in the flesh, but now he's this glorious being, and he's sitting on a chair somewhere in the sky and telling us, you know, trying to shout down encouragement to us, and we're just doing the best we can. We're going to make it through somehow. But he says, which is the fullness of him. We're the rest of him. God's purpose is not just an individual. God's purpose is not just the head. It's all of the body that's connected to him. Praise God. You know how many times have we used the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? And this, he's talking about the gifts. I'm not going to try to get into a lot of the detail, but verse 12 says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. This is a truth that I believe the Lord wants to reemphasize in our midst and really help this generation to get. We tend to think of ourselves as followers of Jesus, and that's true enough. But there is a connection that is real. When people are born of the Spirit of God, there is a connection that is so much deeper than simply a collection of people with their names on a register somewhere. If you know Jesus Christ, you're not just a name on a divine list somewhere. God wants every one of his children to understand, I'm part of him. And that's why later on in the chapter he says the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. If somebody really steps on your toe real good and hurts it, do you just say, well, that's not me, that's just my toe? Every part of me is me. I'm not just a head. I live in every part of this, and it's all, every part plays a place, has a place, and plays a part. Anyway, we'll get it right. That means if you know him, I don't care if you think you're the little toe and you're sore all the time, you're part of him. If something happens to you, if there is a challenge that you and I are facing in our lives, he doesn't see you as, well, I sure hope they get it right this time. That's him. He takes it personally because it is personal. What is it? You know, we talk about an unseen war. The truth is, we're all unseen. There's an unseen part of us that is really, really of a spiritual essence. We just live in these physical bodies. They're temporary. Everything about this world, as we've said many times, is just temporary. God has put it in place for a reason, to serve a purpose. This is not eternal. This is a stepping stone. And God's unlocking the mystery of why this world even exists. Praise God.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.